The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello there, I'm your host Peter Strachan. Welcome to Stockhead's Rock Yarn. ADX Energy has just completed a successful exploration program at its Anchov oil and gas prospect in Upper Austria. Here to bring us up to date with the results so far and the development plans is the company's executive chairman, Ian Chaikos. Welcome, Ian. You must be very pleased with that result. Can you just start by giving us a short background on the Austrian drilling program that is just completed at Anchov?
Thanks, Peter, and it's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, it we started drilling in mid-December, and we managed to get the well completed a little bit. Took a little bit longer than expected. We did have some problems in the well, but look, effectively, we had a primary target for the Eocene and a secondary target for the Cenomanian. Both targets came in. The Eocene came in slightly low to prognosis, came in around our P90X estimate for reservoir thickness. In addition, we also picked up some shallower sands in the Miocene, which in offset wells have produced quite well. So that was, if you like, an additional bonus. But importantly, we went into this program with a new, if you like, a geological and structural interpretation in that part of the basin. And we're very happy that basically the structure has come in within 5 meters of where we expected it to be, 5 meters high, which defines a large relief, about 440-meter structure with around 27 square kilometers. So onshore, that gives us a lot of scope for additional reserves. Yeah. Just one thing I will say, typically when you drill, you tend to drill at the top of a structure because you want to make sure that you intersect something in case, you know, your structural interpretation is on the low side. But it's also where you would normally find the sands in a structure to be at their thinnest, and then you go down dip looking for deeper sands. So all in all, we're pretty happy with the result.
Yeah, just following up on that, it looks like the well clipped the very top of the structure, so that's good. You know where the top is, but you know, it had been sort of quite thin at the top. But what does the result and the seismic data tell you about the mapping and the potential for thicker zones? I mean, I think you said in your report that you could drill just a little bit to the north and get 18 meters of the Eocene sediments.
Yeah, well, look, the seismic of the logs have told us a couple of things. First of all, you know, the structural interpretation is correct, but also there's probably less faulting than we were predicting. And that's why producing this well at this location is important, because it'll give us a better understanding of the lateral continuity of the Eocene sands. But yeah, based on offset wells to the east, we'd expect a thickening of anywhere between 18 metres, sort of about a kilometre away, and at the edge of the structure up to 30 metres. So look, obviously that would have a very substantial effect on both the reserves and the production rate from the Eocene. On a pre-drill basis, we're expecting that it would take about 6 wells to produce our most likely estimate. And of those wells, we expected maybe 2 or 3 of those to have not basically intersected sufficient Eocene to be producers. So it is expected that within these structures that you'll get variability of reservoir. But the good thing is we've got plenty of structure to play with, and we know that offset wells have to the east have a substantial thickening of the Eocene.
Yeah, and the lack of faulting would be good, because it means that you know you could potentially get away with fewer wells if the reservoir is not so compartmentalized. But then as you start to suck on it, you'll be able to get the pressures and pressure change, and that'll determine how big of area you're actually sweeping with each well.
Yeah, and that's where, if you like, the production testing will be really important. It's not so much in terms of revenues, even though the revenues will help. What we'll basically get is obviously a good understanding of the producibility, even though we expect on a per metre basis that these reservoirs will be quite productive. They do have, you know, porosities of around 16-17%. We'd expect good permeability. But more importantly, it's the pressure response over time to ensure that we have lateral continuity. So, look, I mean, if we're at the top of the structure and you've got a thickening, then actually this well, if it's accessing more oil down dip, could actually produce quite well.
Yeah, so we'll get to that in a minute. But let's just dive straight in and examine the implications so far for productivity that arise from examining the electric log data that you were just talking about and the information from mud logging while drilling. You say you're getting pretty decent sort of porosity. Are you able to say anything about permeability?
Yeah, well, we are, because I mean we're in a basin that's pretty well understood. So in terms of the Eocene, it's the net pay is usually fairly highly permeable. So we'd expect a well like this to be able to produce somewhere between 40 to 80 barrels a day. Obviously, a much thicker section would produce a lot more.
Yeah.
So the Eocene, we've got quite a bit of confidence in. The Miocene is new; it's fairly laminated, but the logs did indicate that we've got good sands stratified within shales. So it's basically a turbidite setting. And we estimate about 14 meters of net pay within a 20 meter laminated section. So
that's the gas at 850 meters.
That's the shallow gas at around 800 meters.
Ian, can you run through the plans for the upcoming flow test activities on the shallower gas and the deeper oil, and then how you're going to produce this product?
Yeah, well, initially we'll test the deeper zone first, the Eocene. So we'll test that for long enough to understand the continuity of the reservoirs, and then we would come up and separately test the shallower gas, and then the shallower gas, if it produces well, we would probably produce that first because it's much easier to produce. We're only about 20 meters away from a gas pipeline. So effectively all we need to produce the gas is metering. The oil, this oil tends to be fairly low gas oil ratio, so it needs to be pumped. So producing the gas for a period of time first would give us the opportunity to go back for the oil later, when we would also have to install electrical systems, et cetera, for the production of the oil. So that's testing will be oil first, gas second, and then production would be gas first and then oil next.
Do you have any understanding of how big that gas zone is at 800 metres?
Yeah, I think we're sort of looking at something in the range of a BCF up to 4 or 5 BCF. So, if it's at the upper end of the range, given current gas prices, it could be very valuable to us, and as well as obviously provide fairly substantial cash flow.
Yeah, and I think you've said in your reports that nearby wells in the same sort of structure have produced about 1 million cubic feet a day of gas.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, basically the same kind of logs in offset wells have produced between 1 to 1.5 million standard cubic feet a day.
Mm. And gas prices in Europe currently sort of $30 a gigajoule, but even if you assume you were to get $15 a gigajoule, that's $450,000 a month of gas flow. Of revenue.
Oh yeah, no, it's very, very substantial. So and look, we've been obviously very interested in where gas prices are going, because it certainly affects our investment strategy. But based on what we've seen, the actual storage of gas is very, very low in Europe. So it's very difficult to see how gas prices are going to move or improve significantly in the short term. So
yeah.
Yes, we're very interested in that.
So the cost of linking the gas in is really small. What's the to get the oil, you'd need to have electrical systems, and there's quite a bit more capital to be spent on a pump there.
Yeah, look, it's probably not so much the capital. It's just the time to install the systems. We're very fortunate in that having operations in the Vienna Basin, we can basically, for a start, we'll probably be using a workover rig that we're currently utilizing in the Vienna Basin. We'll be utilizing that here to run tubing. But obviously, there's a lot of synergies because we can use existing pump systems, et cetera, that we already own. So it'll certainly be a benefit in terms of cost.
Yeah, so when do you hope to be testing these zones, Ian?
I'd say within, say, 2 to 3 months.
Okay. And then production could happen how many months after that?
Well, yeah, that'll probably be more up to the government in terms of issuing a production license. But, you know, we're hopeful that, you know, we could be in commercial production with a production license within 2 to 3 months after testing.
Yeah, well, I guess they're very keen to get more gas over there at the moment because Vladimir Putin's sort of holding Western Europe hostage in a bit.
Yeah, very much so. And it was recently announced by the EU, even though obviously the EU is pushing very hard on renewables, but the EU has mandated that gas and nuclear in the short term is going to be necessary as part of the mix. So we're really excited about the opportunities for gas in Austria and the rest of Central Europe.
And will you be able to produce oil and gas through the same well, or, you know, or will, or could they be later on commingled, or actually could you use the gas to lift the oil, you know, pump it down and help it lift the oil out of the lower zone?
Yeah, I mean, you could, but it's probably going to be inefficient. I think a lot of it will be determined by economics. If the gas produces really well, it's just going to be much more efficient to produce the gas first. Obviously, in the longer term, if the gas starts to deplete, then we could maybe look at a dual completion or switching to the oil. But I think once we get to that stage, it'll be mostly driven by economics. Because really the main, if you like, motivation for producing the oil is knowledge about the Eocene reservoirs. Not to say that in the long term it can't be a good long term producer, but in terms of short term cash flow, the gas is obviously potentially much more significant.
Yeah, and so your mean target there was something like 6.6 million barrels of oil equivalent, and if you've got effectively about 0.6 of that is gas. There might be 6 million barrels of recoverable oil.
Yeah, look, I mean, the two are very independent because we didn't actually factor the gas into those, if you like, calculations. So the gas is over and above the oil. When we talked about barrels of oil equivalent, we were talking about, you know, solution gas.
So we
still see the oil as, you know, the Eocene oil potential as still really strong. At our P50 level, but obviously it will require more money to go out and drill appraisal and development wells, and that's where, if you like, the gas could be really important because you could utilize, you know, those gas cash flows to basically provide funds for future drilling.
Yeah, 6 months of cash flow at that rate, you'd be basically paying for a new well. Now, you've got enough room on that drilling pad to drill additional appraisal wells. Is that the case?
Yeah, we can drill up to three wells. Obviously, we've utilized one, and If the shallow gas produces well, we obviously want to keep that well. But then also you could also use one of those. You could also use the existing well as a sidetrack. But right now, yeah, we'd probably drill another two wells from that location, and then probably another location. If it all comes good, then we'd probably build another location further to the east.
Yeah. Yeah, but if you get into a zone where you've got sort of 15 to 20 meters of oil, there's no guarantee that you'll necessarily have gas at the shallower levels and as you deviate. Is that the case? Or
yeah, there is. I mean, look, the structural extent of the gas is fairly concentrated within, because it's very it's an overthrust region, so within the imbricate, so it's a very high relief structure, so yeah. We don't really benefit by going at with an offset well through the gas. If it produces really well, we might actually drill another well, just a very shallow well, targeting the gas, but no, the oil would be standalone.
Yeah, and so from a thicker section, you're saying from this zone you'd be hopeful of somewhere 40 to 80 barrels a day, but from a thicker section you could get 200, 300 barrels of oil a day.
Oh, yeah, some of these Eocene wells have produced at initial rates around 700 or 800 barrels a day. So, it's if we can find that those thicker sands, they're very valuable.
Yeah, so... that would be a pretty profitable. Now you've got 80% of the running from here on in with X-State holding up their 20%.
Yeah, that's correct. But X-State would have to stay in the game. They have to fund a second well on a 2-for-1 basis.
Oh, okay. So, that's when it all comes in, did the well come in pretty much as budgeted? What would you expect for appraisal wells in terms of cost?
Yeah, it came in the end. We probably ran over about just 10%, and that was due to some pretty severe hole problems.
Yeah.
But typically, we'd expect these wells to drill at around sort of 1.9 to 2 million euros.
Yeah, you just had a bit of sloughing into the hole from the lower sections there.
Yeah, no, there was one shale section that was very active.
Because these rocks are pretty heavily metamorphosed, and I guess they can be quite slippery.
Yeah, well, if you get very reactive shales, then you just basically they're splitting off chunks and they're quite often interbedded with some pretty large gravels, and so if you start getting the shales giving way, then they're dropping some pretty large lumps of rock into the well, which is not helpful.
Ian, ADX is what, producing about 280, 300 barrels of oil a day from its other operations in Austria?
That's correct, yes.
So that provides ongoing funding as well for development of this well. But I guess you'd be really keen to get in and get that gas flowing from Anchov, and that's going to provide a nice little kicker for shareholders.
Yeah, no, it will. It's going to be very helpful in terms of adding value. Obviously, it would also mean that we'd have a new production license in a new area. It gives us, if you like, another producing area within Austria. So it's very good in terms of cash flow, but it's also very good in terms of our strategic position within the country.
So, Ian, finally on news flow, you're saying probably end of February for a well test,
yep.
And then if all goes well, April, May for production of gas.
Yeah, look, because don't forget we'll be doing two tests, so we'll have to test the oil first.
Sure.
And probably we'll be testing that for a week or two, and then we would test the gas. So that would sort of add another sort of month in there for testing. So you'll get news flow, I guess, from the oil and the gas, and then we'd be moving to commercial production, I'd say, around mid-year.
Yep. Well, that's fantastic. I guess shareholders will be pretty pleased with that. And the oil price at Brent at $87, $88 US a barrel, which in Australian dollar terms is about $122 a barrel. If you can produce gas for a dollar or $1.50 a gigajoule and sell it for $15, or you produce oil for $30 a barrel and sell it for $120, that's a pretty high margin business.
Yeah, it is. It's because we're very fortunate in that both products are, if you like, are very well priced in Austria. In Upper Austria, the oils are a very high value. So we have about an 8% discount to Brent for our oils in the Vienna Basin. This would be about a 4% discount to Brent. So it's very highly profitable oil.
Fantastic. Well, Ian, thanks for coming in to talk to Stockhead Rokjan today. And we'll look forward to seeing those production tests coming through in a couple of months, and then hopefully oil and gas flowing into the market by the middle of the year.
Excellent. Thanks a lot.